Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be partly cloudy. We'll have a high around 78 degrees. Kenosha right now is at 50. It's also 50 in Burlington. Milwaukee 61, and it is 59 degrees in Racine. There may be a veterans housing yet in the historic Ajax Industrial Buildings at 1520 and 1536 Clark Street in Racine's Uptown neighborhood. A third development firm now interested after the first company failed to meet a schedule for tax credits and the second bailed out while claiming the walls moved when a train went by. At the Racine Redevelopment Authority meeting, Eric Schweiker, the president of Madison-based Cardinal Capital Management, in seeking an option agreement for the site, said this fits what we're trying to do, and he's confident, quote, it will get built and by people who live in the area.
A lot of work that's worthwhile building on. I think the location is fine if we can make it work. Kind of even like sticking at the two stories. We're not trying to do anything except work within the plans that you've already seen. But we may have better ways to get into financing. And I want to make clear that while we will clearly look, we will talk to Rita immediately. From my point of view, there's multiple ways to sort this out. We'll spend the next couple of months trying to sort it out.
Local developer Ryan Douglas, interested in partnering with Cardinal Capital on this project.
I toured the building with several different developers, and I've looked at it a couple different times. I've been a fan of Cardinal for quite some time, and we've partnered. They've helped me with some of my capital need assessments with WIDA. I know their crew very, very well. I've toured the Germanian building, which is spectacular. If you get a chance, tour it. They have a knack of taking something that seems like it's impossible and making it possible.
Meanwhile, after a second developer backed out, claiming those structural issues, the RDA wanted some cost estimates on possible demolition. First indication is well over $685,000. Development Director Amy Conley noted that if it came to demolition, the cost would exceed just the teardown number because it's a very old industrial site.
Brownfield cleanup on top of that, removal of asbestos, which isn't part of that quote, disconnect, and that doesn't include disconnection of gas and electric lines. So there is also a transformer on the site, a very large transformer that would have to be removed, and that can be extremely expensive as well. So, or else we'll have more PCB contamination.
Right.
So just letting you know that this is a pretty expensive site to demo.
The Redevelopment Authority supports an option agreement with Cardinal Capital that includes a $10,000 purchase price over the next year. The new Caledonia Village Hall is ready to open soon. The new facility at 5043 Chester Lane is going to be open for business on Monday, June the 12th. The current Village Hall is going to be closed for business on Friday, June the 9th, that to facilitate the move over to the new building. Construction of that new $3.5 million Village Hall complex began in July of last year and was completed under budget. It'll replace the old Village Hall, which is on Nicholson Road, built back in 1952 for a mere $50,000. The police and fire and highway departments are going to be staying at the Nicholson Road location, though. A news release indicates the Village of Caledonia will be announcing details of an open house and tours of their new facility in the near future. Former Kenosha Unified School District teacher accused of sexually assaulting a couple of high school students nearly 7 years ago waived his preliminary hearing in Racine County Circuit Court. 41-year-old Douglas Richmond of Burlington then entering pleas of not guilty to the charges of sexual assault of a child by a person working with children and sexual assault of a student by a school staffer. Richmond accused of having sex with the teens that he met while teaching at two Kenosha High School at homes in Burlington. He's going to be back in court for a pretrial conference on June 30th. He's also charged with sexual assault in Kenosha County, scheduled to enter a plea in that case on June the 14th. The Racine man killed in a single vehicle traffic crash in Kenosha County early Tuesday morning, now identified as 28-year-old Darius Davis Allen. A news release indicates he was fatally injured when he lost control of his car on Highway H, went into the West Ditch Line near Shoreland Lutheran High School. He died at a Kenosha hospital. His passenger, 24-year-old Daniel Adler, also of Racine, taken to a freighted hospital in Flight for Life for serious injuries. Crash investigation goes on, but the investigators believe it appears speed and alcohol were the contributing factors. Well, he's at peace with his decision not to continue chemotherapy for the lymphoma that is consuming his body. And while Mark Eichhorst, known as Mr. Racine, is biding what time he has left in a Kenosha hospice, he is still working on projects. He talked with WRJN's Mike Clemens, Eichhorst saying that one of his last two goals in life is to do a final broadcast in the radio station studios, and the other, complete a lap in the upcoming Relay for Life event.
June
9th at 6 o'clock at the Caledonia Mount Pleasant Park, Memorial Park there in Franksville. They're going to have the annual Relay for Life, and I want to take a lap, not necessarily, because those laps are for survivors, and not necessarily for myself, but for all the people before me, all the people after me that are going to have to go through something like this.
He always told people, including on air, that he felt blessed, a belief that he says has not changed. He's worked with his pastor on the funeral service that will eventually come, and Mark Eichor says the thoughts, the prayers, the cards, the visits, etc., they've all helped him as he takes his final journey one day at a time. The former Racine Steel casting site along North Memorial Drive, well, it's been targeted by city leaders over the years for environmental cleanup as a brownfield site, the goal to make it ready for economic development. But it is nowhere close at this point and still has some costly days ahead, with fingers crossed on EPA grant money still being available. Speaking to the Redevelopment Authority, Donna Volk with hired contractor Ramboll Environ said that the south lot, better than the north, but could be targeted for another $765,000 in work.
General environmental conditions on the property, there's widespread low-level contamination across the site, fairly easy to deal with. But then we've got an area of very high concentrations up here of PCBs and VOCs in the soil and groundwater on this north lot. And down here, we've got two smaller localized areas of high PCBs on the south lot.
The north lot of the steel casting site qualifies as a major concern for EPA, Volk calling it a different animal. Cost estimates of between $714,000 to $2.7 million.
And again, each of these options would include natural attenuation of groundwater and site capping. And we would also consider high versus low occupancy. Meaning particularly if we do an in-situ treatment and we can't get down to 10 parts per million, we would look at potentially this area as being a parking lot and go with the low use.
The RDA told more grant application deadlines are approaching, and that Ramboll Environment, using a generic plan, that is, for continued investigation and cleanup of that site. Planning staff for the city of Racine has been working for quite some time on language changes to the existing sign ordinance and will continue to do so because the Wisconsin Realtors Association has raised some questions and concerns about the latest version. At the City Plan Commission meeting, the group's Doug Wheaton mentioned a problem with the recommended number of just 3 temporary signs permitted on a given property because not all properties face just one street.
Which would mean that a person trying to sell their home on a corner lot would only be able to place an open house sign on one of the 2 street frontages if they already have for sale signs up. Therefore, we would respectfully request that this please be changed to a maximum of 2 signs per street frontage maximum for corner lots and through lots.
Said their big concern was the draft language seeming to allow signs for just 2 open houses per year, which they think ought to be eliminated altogether. And there was concern raised about the height limit proposed in the business and industrial districts from the current 15 feet down to 6 feet. The amended ordinance had been targeted for a public hearing in next week's council meeting, but the Plan Commission voted to defer the issue for review of the Realtors Group's suggestions. Could be back at the June 14th commission meeting. It's time again for the annual washdown of the Main Street and State Street bridges in downtown Racine. The washdowns serve a couple of functions: removing debris that distorts the balance on the bridge spans and reduces corrosion of the steel by removing the salt that accumulates, of course, during the winter. The washdown of the Main Street Bridge scheduled for Tuesday, June the 13th, which means the bridge will be closed from 9 in the morning till about noon. State Street Bridge set to close the next day, June the 14th, again from 9 until noon, and of course the usual detours will be posted. S.E. Johnson announcing the opening of a new Frank Lloyd Wright exhibition, which includes examples of Wright's architecture and furniture, plus 26 miniature-scale models of some of the architect's greatest designs.
The exhibit, called On the Wright Trail, is located at Fortaleza Hall at the corporate headquarters campus. The exhibition coincides with the state's observances of Wright's birthday and covers most of the state's Frank Lloyd Wright Trail, from his experiments in and around Spring Green to groundbreaking homes in Milwaukee. The exhibition is included in the company's free campus tours Thursday through Sunday. Reservations are required. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. And at WRJN News, that'll get you our Twitter updates throughout the day. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.